this a long time ago. So, first of all, first point, God is filling a hole. God is meeting a need. Secondly, we need to understand that this is an Old Testament prophecy come true. Shavuot, Pentecost. It goes back to the book of Exodus. And when the Jews first came to the promised land, after they'd left Egypt, God gave them a harvest. And that's what they were celebrating. That's what they were doing when the Pentecost happened. They were celebrating a harvest that happened. If you want to read about it, read in Exodus 34. You'll read about them getting the first harvest. Now, that's an important image. Because actually, what happens after the Pentecost is 3,000 people become Christians, the first harvest of the church. So we've got a few images here. We've got Jesus giving purpose and filling a hole in people's life. Jesus giving the church its first harvest. And Jesus taking a bunch of rat bags that had let him down badly and doing something remarkable with them. So they're the three points I want you to remember from today. First of all, God takes some people with a big hole in their life and fills it. Now, I don't know what you fill the hole in your life with, but I know people who fill the hole in their life with money, jobs. You know, when you get made redundant, you feel empty. They fill their lives with all sorts of things. And Christians, if they want to be about God's business, need to fill their lives with Jesus, fill their lives with God's purposes. And that's what we see in the story. Secondly, the first harvest of the church. Those 12 men couldn't do it. So God comes and does it in them. Think about the images. Wind. Where do we see wind in the Bible? Wind blows and opens the Red Sea. It's the image of God being present. Fire. Where do we see fire? Fire guides them in the desert. It's God being present. But now, it's not just God in a big pillar of fire. It's God on each of their heads. God is with them. And that's a promise that was made in the book of John. That actually, if they did what they were told, then God would come and dwell with them. God would be in their lives. And because they did as they were told, if we read on from the bit that Leonie had read, they were powerful people who were able to do a great work. They were given the Spirit for a purpose, and that was to reap the first harvest of the church. And shall I tell you, there is still a harvest to reap. There is still a harvest to reap, and he's asking us to do it. It's out there in Sileby. It's waiting. There are people out there who would love to have a conversation with you about Jesus. 67% of people who were asked in a survey that was done by Hope said, if somebody talked to me about Jesus, I'd probably be willing to have a bit more of a conversation. The harvest is there. We just need to go and look for it and reap it in. And you might say, when will God give me the Spirit? Well, he'll give you the Spirit when you first become a Christian, and then he'll give it you when you need it. He'll give you the power when you need. Now, I want to just tell you a little story. It's one of my favourite stories. Corrie ten Boom. We all know about Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian who helped Jews escape from Nazi Germany. And when she was a little girl, she asked her dad, and she said to her dad, I'm afraid I'll never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus. Tell me, her father said wisely, when you go on a train journey from Harlem to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before you go? No, Daddy. You give me the money for the ticket just before I get on the train. That's right, said her dad. And so it is with God's Spirit and strength. For our wise Father in heaven knows that when you're going to need things too. Today, if you need the strength to be a martyr, he'll give you the strength. But as soon as you're called upon to face death for Jesus, you'll be all right. She says she took great comfort in her father's advice, and she later knew it to be real because she had to go to a concentration camp and suffer. But we seem to expect, we need to expect God to give us what we need in the Holy Spirit at the right time, in the right way. Do you want the Holy Spirit? We all want to experience more of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And do you remember those early days when you became a Christian and it was all really new and shiny and great? I remember it, being a teenager. It was brilliant. And it all went a bit dull, didn't it, over years? It can get a bit dull and we take it all a bit for granted. How do we get the Holy Spirit? How do we seek the Holy Spirit? Shall I tell you where you can find the Holy Spirit and God speaking to you and directing your life? It's in that book you've got in the pews. It was inspired by God and His Spirit. If you spend time with it, God will speak to you. And then, can I just encourage you to do what the Spirit tells you to? That's another way to experience more of the Holy Spirit in your life. I remember when I was in my last parish, I'd had a really bad day. I had quite a lot of bad days, actually. But I was having a really bad day. And I sat in my study and I thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to write the letter to the bishop and resign because I can't stand this any longer. And there was a knock on the door. And when I went to the door, a really good friend of mine called Alan was standing at the door. And I said, Alan, and he was in his cycling kit because Alan liked to cycle. Alan would go out on a day and cycle 100 miles. And Alan said to me, God's Spirit spoke to me while I was cycling through Sywell. I said, okay. He said, God's Spirit told me that I wasn't to finish my cycle ride. I was to come and pray with you because you needed me today. It's a good job he did as he was told because I was at the end of my tether. But the fact that God prompted Alan because he knew I needed Alan to come and pray with me, and Alan did as he was told when the Spirit prompted, led to a great thing. And you can see that in the story, can't you? Because actually, when the Spirit comes and dwells with them, and the gap's filled and purpose is given to Peter, what is the first thing Peter does? He gets up and he preaches. And if you go to the very end of the story, there's a benefit. Because if you look at verse 41, because Peter did as he was told, because they were open to the Holy Spirit, because they spoke and God gave them what they needed, 3,000 people were added to the church that day. The first harvest was gathered in. So what's the call for us? Read our Bibles, listen to the Holy Spirit, do as we're told, when we're prompted, because God will give us the strength and the tools and the kit we need to do what we need to do, to speak to people, to tell people about Jesus, and then we'll see a harvest gathered. And if we do that, we'll need 3 services on a Sunday morning to cope with the people that come into this church because we were faithful, Spirit-filled, obedient people. Amen. I haven't got an order of service, I've just realised.